Jeremiah chapter number 18. I preached out of this before a long, long time ago. And I've been thinking all summer that I wanted to develop this into a series of messages. But the Lord just never has allowed me to do that. And I would like to preach a series before the summer totally gets gone. I usually do that about once a year. I'll take a series of Sundays, and I've looked at this and been studying and restudying and looking at it, but I want to try to preach tonight about when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. I love this passage of scripture, and it speaks to my heart, and I might develop it into a series of messages one of these days. It would be good to do that, but we'll just read verses 1 through 6, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "The word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here tonight and the good singing and the good spirit in the choir. And I thank you for that. And I pray and I ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight from your word. I pray that it would make a difference in our lives. I pray that we would see your hand in our lives. Because I know, Lord, that you do have a hand in our lives. And you're continually molding and making us what you'd have us to be. Lord, I know this is talking about the nation of Israel. But I know that, Lord, you do the same thing in our lives. So, Lord, help us to see that tonight. And I'm thankful for your hand in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, help us as your people. Thank you for the good service this morning. Thank you for the good singing tonight. And Lord, we come tonight asking that you would just have your way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. So the Lord goes to Jeremiah and he tells him, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in verse number 1, he's got something for him to do. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And so the Lord tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. That's the man that makes vessels out of pottery. And there's a picture lesson for him down there at the potter's house. And I preached back a few Sundays ago, month or two ago now, I preached on the potters and the gardeners. That's what got me thinking about this message where the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And the pottery or the making of pottery or a potter is mentioned in 8 books of the Bible. And so the Bible has a lot to say about, there's a lot of lessons down at the potter's house. But the main thing that I want us to get out of it tonight, that's a picture of our relationship with the Lord, how He molds and makes us in our lives. He's the potter, we're the clay. Says that more than one time in the Bible. Isaiah 64, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we are all the work of Thy hand." The way that's phrased there, it almost sounds like the words of a song, don't it? And it might be. I don't know. It can't come to mind right now. But that's also mentioned over in Romans chapter 9, verse 29. "Hath not the potter power over the clay?" Clay is mentioned in 30 verses in the Bible. And you know tonight that we are actually made out of clay. I mean, God made Adam. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And all clay is dust with water added. Just add water. That's us. That's what we're made of. We're made out of clay. And I read this morning out of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and you know Solomon, he's sort of fatalistic over there and some things, and he said, he's talking about getting older, and he said, he comes down to verse 6, verse number 7, that man would return to the dust. That's what we're made out of. You know, that you, it is not in the Bible, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But that's where that comes from, that man returns to the dust from which he came. But when you see on movies and things and they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust, that is not a verse in the Bible. But that is taught in the Bible. When we pass away, we turn back to the dust of the ground. We're made of the clay of the ground. So the Lord is our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. Now, the context of Jeremiah chapter number 18 is talking about the nation of Israel, that God can do with the nation of Israel as he sees fit. And he is like the potter, and they are the clay. And Romans chapter number 9 talks about, can the clay say to the potter, you know, what are you doing? We can't do that. The Lord is the potter. We're just the clay. And the Lord being the potter, he can do with the clay as he sees fit. But there's some great lessons down at the potter's house. And that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to go with Jeremiah down to the potter's house and to notice some lessons from Jeremiah's visit down there. The word potter, it means this. It means to squeeze, to mold into shape or form. And that's what the Lord does in our lives. He molds us. He makes us what he wants us to be. First of all, if we could go with Jeremiah down to the potter's house, we would notice, first of all, that the potter had a plan. The potter had a plan. God's got a plan for our life. God's got a plan as he works and molds in our lives. And you don't start to work without a plan in mind. God's got a plan in mind. When the potter goes down to get his clay, he has something in mind. He's got an intention in mind. Now, in the old days, in Bible days, the potters lived together. And they would live around a place where they could go out and they could get clay. And it might be a place that water would run into and maybe stand still. But they had to be somewhere close where they could go down there and they could get their clay to do their work. And so the potter would go out there, and when he would go out and he would reach his hands down into that clay, he would come out. As he reached his hands down in the clay, he's got something in mind. He would get a little bit more for a large vessel. He wouldn't have to have as much if he's going to make a goblet or a vase or a small little bowl or something like that. But see, when he went down there and when he reached down in there, he's got something in mind. And that is the same language that David used in Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 2 when the Bible says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That is the language that a potter would understand. He brought me up also out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. That potter's wheel, it's a rock. And I wouldn't bring one into church. If you've ever been around a pottery wheel, they are messy things. But they're all made out of rock. That wheel. He brought me up. He went out. He reached down into the horrible pit. Psalms chapter 40 says. Boy, sin's a horrible pit. It's a terrible, terrible situation to be in, to be lost and on the way to hell. But I'm glad there's one tonight that's able to reach down into that horrible pit, into that miry clay. And God reaches down still today into that horrible pit, into that miry clay. And I'm telling you, he's got something in mind. He's got something in mind for all of us. Young people, you say, oh, what am I going to do with my life? God's got something in mind. When he reaches down, picks us out of that horrible pit, miry clay, and he sets my feet upon a rock, that's that wheel. That's the language of Psalms chapter 40. The potter would understand that. He set my feet upon a rock. And then he established my goings. He begins to make out of me what he intends for me to be. And he's got something in mind for all of us. Jeremiah, who I love to read and study about. Jeremiah is a young man. God had a purpose for his life. God said in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Verse 4 said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly. What is that in a belly? This liberal crowd out here today, they can't understand what that is. That's a baby. That's a human being in the belly. And God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, God said, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What is that in the belly? That's a person. And when you harm what's in the belly, that's killing a person. That's what abortion is. Jeremiah knew that before he was even born, that God had his hand upon his life. He had formed him and made him and called him to be a prophet unto the nations. God's got a plan for our lives. He had a plan for Jeremiah's life. He's got a plan for your life. He had a plan for my life. David said over in Psalms 139, verse number 13, he said, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Where does God start molding and making us at? In the womb. Look, the potter's got a plan. He's got a plan for all of our lives before you were ever born. Before your mother and father knew if you was going to be a boy or a girl. God knew what you was going to be. God knew what he wanted you to be. That ought to thrill us tonight. David said, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David said, when I was in the womb, and I was not even formed yet, and I didn't have all my members, I didn't have my arms and my legs and all that, God looked down into David's mother's womb. God said, I know who that is, and I know what he's going to be, and I know what I've got in mind for him. And God knew all those things. God knows. Young people today, I'll tell you, it's rough. You go to school, and you won't find out in school that there's a loving God in heaven that made you and formed you in the womb and had something special for each of your lives. You find out up there, you find out in school, you won't find out nothing much. You find out at school, they'll tell young people, well, you're just here by accident. You don't really have any purpose. You don't really have any meaning in life. It's just all by, biological evolution and all that bunch of stuff. Well, I tell you, there's no great message of hope in that, but in the Word of God, to find out that there's a God in heaven that made us, knew you before you were ever born, and's got something special in store for you, that's a great message. The potter has a plan for our lives. And Jeremiah knew that, and I want you to know that tonight. I have a friend who is a potter. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, where do you get your clay? You know, I know nowadays potters, they pretty much order it. These places you can order clay from. I said, is there different kinds of clay? They said, oh yeah, there's all kinds of clay. You can get anything you want. I said, what's the difference in the clay? I said, I would think that it is mainly just color and texture. And they said, that's pretty much it. You can order anything you want to. There's all kinds of different colors. There's all kinds of different textures. Some of the clay you can get is more gritty and have more stuff in it. It might have a different color to it. It comes from all different places around the world. And I said, but as far as using it, I said, what's the difference? They said, there's basically no difference. You can take any clay and make anything out of it that you want to. I said, in my heart, I said, praise the Lord. Somebody that knows what they're doing can take the most common, non-special clay and make something beautiful out of it. So I said, really, it's just up to you what you want to make, isn't it? And they said, yep, that's it. It's just up to me what I want to make, what I order. And that's how the Lord is. Here's how we are. Most people, they don't think there's anything special about them. And you know what? There's not. Till God gets a hold of you. And God can take old brown, non-special clay and make something special out of it. Because He knows what He's doing. The potter knows what he's doing. And he's got a plan in our lives. The potter had a plan. Number two, we would notice if we went down to the potter's house, we would notice the potter's pursuit. The Bible said in verse number 3, the Bible said, then I went down. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. Hey, God told me to go down to the potter's house. He's got a lesson for me down there. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, and he sees the potter do what David was talking about. He brought me up out of the miry pit, set my feet upon a rock. All the wheels are made of stone, are made of rock. Well, in the Bible, what's that a picture of? The rock is a picture of Jesus. He set my feet upon a rock, puts the miry clay upon the wheel. We must be set upon the rock. If God's going to make anything out of us, we've got to be on Jesus. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter number 7, it talks about building a house. You can build a house upon the solid rock, or you can build it on the sand. If you build it on the rock, it's going to last. If you build it on the sand and the storm comes, it's going to fall down and it's going to be great as the ruin thereof. But oh, if we build our house upon the rock, we sing a little song like that when we was little. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rock is Jesus. And so we're talking about getting on the solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're brought out of the horrible pit of sin. We're set our feet upon the rock. And there's where God can begin His work upon us. We've got to get out of the horrible pit of sin. We've got to get on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get centered. You can't make anything on the edge of the wheel. It's got to be in the middle. It's got to be in the center. We got to get right in the center of God's will where God can begin to work upon us. And so that's what the Lord does for us. He sets us out. He gets us out. He sets us on. And then you know what begins to happen in our lives? There is a power that you do not see. Now, wheels today are probably mostly electric, but the potters in the old day, they had to, there's a motion underneath. There's got to be a power to make that wheel turn. And so the potter sat down and he run that wheel with his foot. But you don't see that from the top, but there's a power going on underneath to begin to work and form in our lives. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. Working in our lives, causing something to happen in our lives where God can work on us and mold us and make us. And so he wrought a work on the wheels, the Bible says. And something else you'll notice, if you could go down to the potter's house, you would notice that the potter, he never touches the clay unless he dips his hands in water first. Water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it. It's talking about the church with the washing of water by the Word. Now, how does God work on us? Through His Word. His Word is what forms us and molds us and makes us. God does not use the things of the world to mold us and make us. He uses His Word. He uses His Word. His Word touches us. His Word has an impact upon us. Now, the things of the world will impact you. It'll make you something, but it'll not make you something for God. The TV you watch, the music that you listen to, it will have an influence on you. It will change you. It will mold you. You can go off to college and you can learn some worldly philosophy, and it will make you to be a certain way, but it'll not make you be the way God wants you to be. God uses His Word. When He touches us, He uses His Word. I was talking to somebody just today. I said, you want to know what God wants you to do in your life? Get in the Bible. God will show you from His Word what He wants you to do. That's how He touches us. I'll tell you, I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about the Masons. And I hadn't been aggravated at the Masons in a while, but it sort of aggravated me what they had pulled at a funeral one of my preacher friends was doing. You see, the Masons, now I'm not talking about rock built make, I'm not talking about laying a brick house. I'm talking about this secret organization out here, the Masonic Lodge. They promote, they say, come to the lodge and we will make you a great person. Well, why? If it's so great, why is it secret? If it's so great, why not tell the whole world? God is never going to use something like that to make you be the Christian He wants you to be. He's going to use His Word, and it's going to be done in the light, in the open, and it's good for everybody. Don't let this world make you think that they've got the secret to this and the secret to that. The secret to life is God's Word. You get God's Word in your life and in your heart, and it will amaze you. All the answers are in there. Every one of them. What do you want to know? The answer's in there. God uses His Word to mold us and to make us to be what He wants us to be. Now, and I can testify tonight, God's Word changed my life. God's Word called me to preach. All the major things in my life that's ever been good, God's Word. God's Word. But there's a problem that the potter has in verse number 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And maybe you've all seen this. The potter's working and he's making, and I'm going to do this one of these days. I've never done it. I've been around it. I've watched people do it. I just think that'd be fun. I think I could do that. Put my hands in the water. I'll put my thumbs down in that. And the potter starts bringing it up, molding it. Maybe he's going to make a bowl. Maybe he's going to make a vase or something like that. And he works and he works and he molds and he molds and he water and he water. And I'll tell you what mars the vessel in the hand of the potter. There'll be resistance. There's something in that clay. And that motion of spinning around and around and around, it brings that. It might be a little rock. It might be a piece of sand. It might be a piece of trash that's got in the clay. And it will finally make its way to the outside. And all of a sudden it'll catch and it ruins it. And what does the potter do if it's big enough, if he can't get it out? It's marred in the hand of the potter. And I've seen somebody working on pottery, and they bring it up and bring it up and bring it up, and all of a sudden something happens and it wobbles around and it falls down. Well, let me tell you some good news. We might say, man, that's bad. But that potter, he doesn't just scrape it off and throw it in the trash. You know what he does? He'll put his hands back on it again. He'll make it another vessel as it seems good unto the potter. That's good news for us. People say, oh, I messed up. I done this and I done that. That's bad. But you know what? God's able to put his hands in our life. And we may not be what we was going to be originally, but he's a master potter. He'll just make something else out of you. And it'll be good too. It'll be good too. A lot of people could stand up and testify and say, well, I messed up. But you know what? God is good. God is merciful. And God gave me another chance. And God used me anyway. And I couldn't do this, but God let me do this. You don't know. It might be that marring that gets you where you need to be anyway. God is expert. He's expert at. I love what it says in verse number 4. Made it again, another vessel. Made it again, another vessel. Yes, it was marred. Yes, it got messed up a little bit. But God, the good news is this, the Lord doesn't give up on us. We give up on us. And people sometimes go through life, they'll go a long time. Well, God can't use me. God can't use me. Yes, the Lord can. He'll make it another vessel. Look what the Bible says. He made it another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Just let him work in your life. You'll be amazed what the Lord can do. He can make a vessel unto honor out of us if we'll let him. It's that resistance that messes up to begin with. When we get the resistance out of our life to the Lord, then he's able to take us and mold us and make us. Get the resistance out. Get the rebellion out. Get the sin out. Yield unto the Lord. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We've got a piece of pottery at the house somebody made us and gave us a while back. There's nothing special about it. It's very simple, very small little bowl. But you know what? We found a perfect use for it. We didn't have this before. And while we're working and cooking there, while I'm cooking and working, Kim does that too sometimes. No, I'm kidding. But you know, we didn't have anything. If you've got a spoon and you put it down in a pot and you're chugging it there, you got to have somewhere to lay it. And if you don't, you just lay it on the counter and it makes a mess. And in all the years, we've not had something beside to just put a little spoon or fork in or something. And that's where that goes. We use that more than we use anything else because we use that every time. We don't use the big pot every time, and we don't use the pan every time, and we don't use the 2-quart saucepan every time. But I'll tell you, we use that every time, and it's the most common little thing, but boy, it's handy. God might make you the commandant. You may not be the, hey, we've got a, somebody bought us one of them red copper bottom pans. That's the trick. Does anybody else have one? They are great. I can make the prettiest omelet now you ever seen in your life. It's so pretty you don't want to eat it. It's as seen on TV. We don't use it all the time, but we sure that use that other thing all the time. God knows what He's doing. And He, if He makes you a common, you say, oh, there, it's nothing special about that. But hey, if God's using you, that's special. You don't have to be the preacher. Let me tell you, you don't want to be the preacher. A lot of people think they want to be the preacher. You wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it very long at all. It's great for me, but see, that's what God called me to be and do. And I'm telling you, a lot of people wouldn't like it very long. Just be what the Lord wants you to be. You'll be satisfied. The problem of the potter is that he was marred in the hand, but the good news is he made it again another vessel. Now there's the product of the potter. What does the potter do? He molds, he makes, he shapes. And then you know what the potter does with that? He takes a piece of twine, string, something like that, and he's got to cut it off that top of that wheel. There's got to be a separation in our lives. He'll take it, he'll run it across the top. That separates it. And then you know what he does? He doesn't take it out and pour it full of milk. He takes it and he sets it on the shelf. You ever felt like God set you on the shelf? It's got a cure. You can't use it right away. But God knows what he's doing. And he sets it on the shelf, and he knows when the next step is. And I'll tell you, I've felt like sometimes God set me on the shelf. You felt sometimes like God set you on the shelf. Might be God's just, he got you in a place where he's getting you ready for the next thing he's going to do in your life. And you know what's exciting about that? The next thing God's going to do in your life, he's going to put you right in the fire. That's what the Lord's doing in our lives. And you know, he does that a lot of times in our lives. And the Bible talks about the fiery trials which shall try you. And when these trials which shall try you, when we are brought forth as gold, the Bible says, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so God puts you on the shelf sometimes, and there's times of waiting. And then God puts you in the fire and you say, oh, I'm not going to stand the fire. But God puts you in the fire. And then when they get them out of the fire, then they're ready. They'll put that nice glaze on them. And then, boy, they're really ready to be used. And you know, a good piece of pottery will last long time. You can pass it on generation to generation. I have a cup that was made by a potter, and I dropped it. I thought, oh my goodness, that's the end of that. Well, it bounced off the floor, and I've been using it ever since. It's tough. Tough stuff. Some are more delicate than others, but I'll tell you, God makes a good product. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't make it till in the morning. But them fires you've been through, and the Lord working in your life, he's doing all that for a reason. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible said this, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter. When God gets us where He wants us to be, He's got something that's precious in His sight. He's got something He protects. He's got something He watches over. If God didn't protect us, if the Lord didn't watch over us, we just wouldn't make it. But if you're one of His, you're precious in His sight. He's put a lot of time and effort into our lives. He wants to use us. He does that. He does all those things because He loves us and because He wants to use us for His honor and for His glory. And there is a lot of lessons that can be learned down at the potter's house. But the lesson that I leave us with tonight, verse number 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? God can do in our lives what He wants to do. And if He does it, He's not doing it to hurt us, to kill us, or because He doesn't love us. But He's making us what He wants us to be. Kim and I have talked a whole lot about cancer and being sick. And you know, you try not to get to the place, why? But you think, why? If God allows something in our lives, why does the Lord do that? And as a child of God, the answer, it's to help somebody else. God lets us go through things. You would never be able to minister to somebody unless you've gone through that yourself. You can say, I'm sorry this is happening and I feel for you, but you can't say, I've been there. But boy, once you've been there, you can really minister to somebody. You can really help somebody else that might be going through the same things. So why does the Lord? I don't know all the answers, but I know He loves me. And I know He's working in my life and He's working in your life and our lives. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate you good.